Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 17 Texts 48 and 49, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is Bengali. It's not pronounced exactly as it's written, because the same system is used for writing Sanskrit as Bengali, but the words are different. The sounds in many cases are different. So please listen. I'll pronounce it with Bengali pronunciation and then you can repeat it. Keha Jodi Tar Mukhe Shune Krishna Nama Tar Mukhe Ano Shune Tar Mukhe Ano Shabe, Krishna, Hari, Bali, Nache, Kande, Hashe, Paramparai, Vaishnav, Hoilo, Sharava, Deshe, Keho Jodi Tar Mukhe Shune Krishna Nam. Tar mukhe ano shune, tar mukhe an.
Tar mukhe ano shune, tar mukhe an.
Shobe Krishna hari boli nache kande hashe.
Shobe Krishna hari boli nache kande hashe.
Paramparai Vaishnav hoilo sharva deshe. Keho jodi tar mukhe shune Krishna nam.
Keho jodi tar mukhe shune Krishna nam.
Tar mukhe ano shune tar mukhe an.
Tar mukhe ano shune tar mukhe an.
Shobe Krishna hari boli nache kande hashe.
Shobe Krishna hari boli nache kande hashe.
Paramparai Vaishnav hoilo sharva deshe. Verse translation. When someone heard the chanting of the holy name from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone else heard this chanting from that second person, and someone again heard this chanting from the third person, everyone in all countries became a Vaishnav through such disciplic succession. Thus everyone chanted the holy name of Krishna and Hari, and they danced, cried, and smiled. Purport. The transcendental potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is herein explained. First, the holy name is vibrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When someone hears from him directly, he is purified. When another person hears from that person, he is also purified. In this way, the purification process is advanced among pure devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one can claim His potency. Nonetheless, if one is a pure devotee, hundreds and thousands of men can be purified by His vibration. This potency is within every living being, provided he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly and without material motives. When a pure devotee chants offenselessly, another person will become a Vaishnava, and from him another Vaishnava will emerge. This is the parampara system. As you regularly have verse class on Chaitanya Charitamrita on Sunday, and as this verse discusses parampara, I thought it was very, and we're having an initiation ceremony a little later, so I thought this was a very suitable verse, two verses to discuss today, particularly because in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned specifically the necessity of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra offenselessly and without material motives. The question may arise, why is initiation required at all? Because anyone can chant the holy name. And from this description here of this parampara, it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would inspire someone to chant, that person would inspire someone else, and it would go on like that. There's no mention of initiation per se, but initiation means to enter a formal parampara. What is described here is an informal parampara. Just like, for instance, in the modern time, Srila Prabhupada inspired George Harrison to chant, or actually Srila Prabhupada inspired some of his disciples, and by hearing, George Harrison had heard Srila Prabhupada chant. He'd heard Prabhupada chant on the one record. Those of you who are older may know what that is, some recording. And then George, by association with disciples of Srila Prabhupada, became inspired to chant. And by George's chanting and by his producing a record of the devotees chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, many, many millions of people got to hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, similar to the way that's being described here of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others conveying that mantra to others. But this is informal. George heard it in prayer. I also heard it before joining this movement, like most people who were around at that time. I'd heard the Maha Mantra because of that record which was made. I'd heard it. And, well, there were two records. There was the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra record. It was just Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, accompanied by music, and George Harrison singing My Sweet Lord, in which in the background chorus there's Hare Krishna, like that. So I'd heard it. So I was informally in a parampara. Parampara means just from one to another, that's all. But that was informal. But initiation means into a sampradaya. And the point here is that one takes instruction. And one is instructed and accepts the principle of the sampradaya. So anyone can chant the Hare Krishna mantra and may chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. But initiation is specifically means committing to chant the Hare Krishna mantra offenselessly, or to aim at becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, following his own guru and following the parampara system, when he gave initiation into the chanting of the holy names, he or one of his disciples would explain what are the 10 offenses that are to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy names. So at a formal parampara is called a sampradaya. A sampradaya has specific teachings, specific practices, and Vedic sampradaya, which is actually a sampradaya. There may be other sampradayas, but they're not sampradayas in the proper sense of the term. They may be called upper sampradaya, but a Vedic sampradaya, the basis is the Vedic knowledge, because Sampradaya means it's a succession of gurus who specifically teach. Srila Prabhupada uses the term disciplic succession. The disciple becomes a guru. That's the normal, natural thing, just like a child becomes a parent. The child is the father of man, there's a saying. It's a natural thing. Who's a child now and is being trained to be a functional human being will become a father, and then the father will change. Father and mother will train their children, and in this way, that's one kind of parampara. And even within the Vaishnava system, there is the Vamsa parampara, in which there is gurus appear in, or in acharya families, in each generation, the children, they become acharyas, and then their children become acharyas, and so on like this. So, this is the system which everyone who's being initiated should have some idea of, this initiation into a specific parampara. Ours is the Brahma Madhva Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya, which means Brahma spoke. Brahma received knowledge from Krishna. He's the inaugurator within this world of this sampradaya. Then the knowledge came down to Madhvacharya, who is the next acharya to specifically codify the teachings and practices. And then from that came Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there we have Brahma, Madhva, Gaurya, and then Vaishnava. Specifically, we have Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to the. He's used this term Amnaya. Amnaya means the Vedic tradition. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described that as Amnaya Shutaya Sakshat Brahma Vidyeti Vishutaha Guru Parampara Aprapta Vishva Kartar Hi Brahmanaha. Transcendental knowledge which is received through the system of parampara. This specifically means being initiated into the parampara, beginning with Brahma the Creator, and which is embodied in the Shruti. Shruti means the Vedas, the original Vedas, is known as Amnaya, or the authorized sacred tradition. Now, these are points that everyone who's being initiated should know. Specifically, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave the 10 points, Dashamula, that everyone who's in this sampradaya should know. They're the 10 specific points of philosophy, basic philosophy, basic teachings that one should know. They're very similar with little difference in to that of Madhvacharya. So he gave that. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he required anyone who was to be initiated by him to know these 10 points. Srila Prabhupada, our own Srila Prabhupada, didn't require that, but he taught these points incessantly, both in his both verbally and in writing. So all those who are to be initiated should know and accept these points. Otherwise there's no meaning to be initiated. So the points that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given in one verse, Amnaya praha tadam harim iha paramam sarva shaktim rasabdhim tadbinang shangs cha jivan prakriti kavalitan tadvimuktangs cha bhavat bheda bheda prakasham sakalamapi hare sadhanang shuddha bhaktim sadhyang tat pritim evetyupadishati janan gaura chandra swayam saha. So the 10 points are, there's one point and then another 9 points. And the 9 points, they all depend on the, or they all spring from the first point. The first point is again this word, Amnaya. Amnaya, they are evidence, they are pramana, they inform us about reality, those statements. So Amnaya means the statements of the Shastra as delivered by the Acharyas in a disciplic succession. Otherwise anyone can read, but the Vedas, and come up with so many different conclusions. There are six darshans or philosophical systems which arise from the Vedas, which are supposed to be, or they accept the Vedas. Of all of them, the Mimamsa school is most based on the Vedas. We're in the Mimamsa school, is that right? We're in the Mimamsa school? We're not in the Mimamsa school. What's the Mimamsa school? Karma Mimamsa? Actually, we are in the Mimamsa. That's the Purva Mimamsa, and we have Uttara Mimamsa, which is Vedanta. The Karma Mimamsa, they accept the Vedas for going to the heavenly planets, and Uttara Mimamsa accepts for getting out of this material world altogether. And then, within the Uttara Mimamsa, the Vedanta school, there are two major divisions. The Mayavadis, the followers of Shankaracharya, and the Vaishnavas. But they all accept the Vedic knowledge, but what Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to as Amnaya, it's not a word he made up, it's an ancient word, it's there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, means the Vedic knowledge as received through the bona fide Vedic tradition. Sampradaya. So what is the knowledge that, what is the tattva, anaya praha tattvam, the anaya that speaks literally, the tattva, the knowledge, the understanding. So what are the points? So there are 9 points. Harim iha paramam. Hari is supreme. Very simple to understand. Hari means Krishna. He is sarva shaktim. He is endowed with all energies. And rasadhim, he is an ocean of rasa, or the ocean of rasa. Tad binam shams ta jiva. The jivas, the living beings, are his separated parts. And the jivas, they can be in two states, prakriti kavalitan, under the grip of material nature, or tadvimuktans, released from the material nature. So there are 2 points. The jivas can either be bound or they can be free. And that indirectly brings in another point, that the jivas are tatashta, they are in the middle state. And actually, without stating so much, there are so many points. It's not even stated that the jivas, in this 10 points, it's not stated that the jivas are subordinate to the Supreme Lord, but it's understood and inferred from that. Bheda bheda prakasham. The jivas and the material. Bheda bheda prakasham sakalam apihare. So everything, which means the jivas and all the energies of the Lord, the material world, everything, is different from and not different from Hari. Using Bhaktivinoda Thakur here, uses the word Hari as mirroring Madhvacharya, who also uses that term, Hari Sarvottama. He prefers that word. Hari is the supreme, Madhva says. Sadhanam Shuddha Bhakti. The sadhana for the conditioned souls who have taken to the path of liberation is Shuddha Bhakti, the path of pure devotional service. Sadhyam Tat Pritim. And the goal is to attain pure love of Krishna. Ivetyupadishati janan gaura chandra swayamsaha. This is directly taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So this is what those who are being initiated into should know. This is what the initiation is into. It's into this understanding, and from that understanding comes that practice. Understanding what is this parampara. It's not just teachings, but it's specific people, devotees, acharyas, who have given this knowledge, beginning with Brahma. So to accept that Brahma gave this knowledge means automatically, although among all the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada far more than others stressed this point, that if we accept even the existence of Brahma, that means we don't accept Darwin's theory or mundane science and ideas of evolutionary theory. It's not stated directly, but the two things don't go together. Just like you, by way of example, you can't subscribe to mundane psychology and also be a devotee of Krishna. So it's not mixable. You can try like mixing oil and water, but it doesn't work. Trying to mix oil and water. So Mundaka Upanishad, the very first verse, states, Brahma Devanam Pratama Sambhabhuva Vishvasya Karata Bhuvanasya Gota Sabrahma Vidyang Sarva Vidya Pratishtham Atharvaya Jeshta Putraya Praha. So the Mundaka Upanishad, one of the primary Upanishads, begins by stating where knowledge comes from. Where do we get knowledge from? Knowledge means spiritual knowledge, knowledge of reality. So it begins by giving this parampara system. Lord Brahma is the first of the demigods. He is the creator of the universe and its protector. He instructed his eldest son, Atharva, in the science of transcendental knowledge, Brahma Vidya, very important term, Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge. And thus, Brahma became the first teacher within the universe. All other knowledge is based on this knowledge. So to accept a guru means to accept a teacher. One is supposed to learn. It's not just a matter of sticking the picture on the wall and sometimes waving a piece of incense. But it's a matter of learning. So here is mentioned Atharva as the son of Brahma. So Brahma, he taught so many different people. And we receive knowledge that Brahma taught to Narad, Narad taught to Vyas, Vyas spoke to Madhvacharya, who is the Sampradaya Acharya. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan in his Prameya Ratnavali has praised Madhvacharya in this way. Ananda Tirtha Nama Sukhamai Dhamayatir Jyat Sangsar Arnava Taranim Yam Iha Jana Kirtyanti Buddhaha. All glories to Sri Madhvacharya, who is known as Ananda Tirtha, the holy abode of transcendental bliss. The wise know him as the boat for crossing over the ocean of material existence, and therefore they chant his glories. Okay, I'm going to take a 5-minute break. I have to. You can imagine what I have to do. So you can chant Hare Krishna for 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, so being initiated into a sampradaya means there are many gurus in that sampradaya, among which some are prominent, and it is a standard practice, or used to be in Vedic sampradayas, that the members of that sampradaya, the first thing in the morning, they would chant the names of the acharyas, to call them to mind and invoke their blessings and to remind themselves that they are servants within this parampara. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to fulfill this purpose, composed a series of Sanskrit verses giving the names of the prominent acharyas from Brahma down to the, well, actually from Krishna, down to the, from Krishna to Brahma to Narad to Vyas to Madhva and so on. So I'll chant that now. And it'll take a little time, but please listen, because just by hearing the names of these holy acharyas, we become purified. Shri Krishna Brahma Devarshi Badarayana Sangyakan Shri Madhva Shri Padmanabha Shri Manrihari Madhavan Akshobhya Jayatirtha Shri Jnana Sindhu Dayanidhin Shri Vidyanidhi Rajendra Jayadharaman Kramadvayam Purushottama Brahmanya Vyasa Tirthams Cha Sangstumaha Tato Lakshmi Patim Sriman Madhavendran Cha Bhaktitaha Tachishan Shri Shvara Dvaita Nityanandan Jagat Gurun Deva Mishvara Shisham Shri Chaitanyan Cha Bhajamahe Shri Krishna Prema Dainena Yena Nistaritang Jagat Kali Kalusha Santaptam Karuna Sindhuna Swayam Mahaprabhu Swarupa Shri Damodara Priyankaraha Rupa Sanatanao Dwao Cha Goswami Pravaro Prabhu Shri Jivo Raghunathas Cha Rupo Priya Priyo Mahamatihi Tat Priya Kaviraja Shri Krishna Dasa Prabhur Mataha Tasya Priyo Tama Srila Sevaparo Narotamaha Tad Anugata Bhakta Shri Vishwanatha Sad Uttamaha Tada Saktascha Gauriya Vedanta Acharya Bhushanam Vidya Bhushana Pada Shri Baladeva Sadashrayaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannatha Prabhustata Shri Mayapura Dhamnas Tu Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Shuddha Bhakti Pracharasya Muli Bhuta Ihotama Shri Bhaktivinodo Devas Tat Priyatvena Vishrutaha Tadda Bhinna Suhridvaryo Maha Bhagavato Tama Shri Gaura Kishora Sakshad Vairagyam Vigrahashritam Mayavadi Ku Siddhanta Dvanta Rashi Nirasaka Vishuddha Bhakti Siddhanta Svanta Padma Vikashakaha Devo Sao Paramo Hangso Matashri Gaura Kirtane Prachara Chara Karya Isho Nirantang Mahotsukaha Hari Priya Janair Gamya Ong Vishnu Pada Purvaka Shri Pado Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Mahodayaha Sarve Te Gauravangshas Cha Paramahansa Vigrahaha Vayancha Pranata Dasas Tad Uchishta Graha Grahaha. The last few verses of this were given by disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That same series of names with little description of some of them was also given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the form of a Bengali poem, which I'll now recite. And this is as a standard practice recited in all Gauriya Mats first thing in the morning. Krishna hoite chatur mukha hoi Krishna shrivan mukhe Brahma hoite naradera mati Narada hoite vyas madva kahe vyasa das purna pragya padmanabhagati
Srihari Madhava Bhangshe Akhobya Paramahangshe Shishra Bali Angi Kara Kare Akhobya Shishra Jaya Tirtan Name Parichay Tar Dasya Jnana Sindhu Tare Taha Huite Daya Nidhi Tara Dasa Vidya Nidhi Rajendra Hailo Taha Huite Taha Kinkara Jaya Dharma Name Parichay Parampara Jano Bhalamate Jaya Dharma Dashe Kati Sri Purusho Tamajati Tahate Brahmanya Tirtha Shuri Vyasa Tirtha Tar Dash Loki Pati Vyasa Das Taha Hoite Madhavendra Puri Madhavendra Puri Bhur Shishya Bhara Sri Ishwa Nityananda Sri Adaita Vibhu Ishara Parike Dhanna Karilena Sri Chaitanya Jagat Guru Gaura Mahaprabhu Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana Rupanuga Janera Jivan Vishambara Priyanka Sri Sarupa Damada Sri Goswami Rupa Sanatana Rupa Priya Mahajan Jiva Raghunathan Tara Priya Kabi Krishna Das Krishna Dasa Priya Bha Narottama Sevapur Jarpada Vishwanatha Ash Vishwanatha Bhaktisat Baladeva Jagannath Tar Priya Sri Bhakti Vinod Mahabhagavata Bara Sri Gaura Kishara Bara Hari Bhajanete Jarmod Sri Barsha Bhanavi Bara Shada Shavya Sri Vapara Taha Dayata Dasana Ta Pradana Anugami Sri Bhaktivedanta Shami Patita Janera Daya Dham Tasha Bapada Padma Bhakata Janera Shadna Shema Ekmatra Tham Esab Harijan Gaurangera Nijajan Tade Uchishte Morakam. So that's the list of names of the prominent acharyas in our sampradaya. Now I spoke about a little bit about the importance of initiation, how anyone can chant, but initiation means to be submit oneself formally, dikkhukale bhaktakare atasamarpan. At the time of initiation, a devotee surrenders himself. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna. There's no need to. It's not required to surrender to Krishna to chant the holy name of Krishna. And even sometimes demons, they chant the name of Krishna. Sometimes demons then pretend to be Krishna. In this way, in an offensive way, they think of Krishna. But at the time of initiation, one surrenders oneself to Krishna via the person of the guru and accepts to be trained and is accepted by the guru and is accepted at least provisionally by Krishna. Shekale Krishna Tare Shekale Krishna Tare Kare Atasham. When the devotee surrenders himself, then Krishna accepts that devotee to be as good as himself. Regarding the importance of initiation, Srila Prabhupada, of course, he many times spoke or wrote about this. This is from a letter in 1968. In answer to your question about the importance of initiation, it is to be understood that initiation means that power is coming from the Supreme by the bona fide disciplic succession. This is required. Of course, for anyone to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam will produce a favorable result, but formally one should receive this knowledge from the disciplic succession. For example, Arjuna and Krishna were friends, but still Arjuna submitted himself formally as Krishna's disciple. This is essential. We should take example from these great personalities. Arjuna was hearing Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita, but still he submitted as Krishna's disciple. Now I submit unto you, please teach me. So this is the process. I hope that this will clear up your question sufficiently. In this letter, Srila Prabhupada writes regarding initiation, this is required, and after a few sentences, he writes, this is essential. It is required if one is going to go back to Godhead. It is possible to go back to Godhead just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but the standard system given by Krishna, followed by Krishna, followed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to submit oneself to a guru. And without doing that, we may say, well, I'll just chant Hare Krishna. But chanting Hare Krishna means to pray to Krishna and the energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. And the system given by Krishna to engage in that service is via the medium of a spiritual master. So if we don't want to follow Krishna's orders in this regard, then we're not doing very well as we're not doing what we're saying we're doing. We're praying for engagement in Krishna's service, but then we want to do it in our own way. Srila Prabhupada writes that initiation means that power is coming from the Supreme by the bona fide disciplic succession. Power is coming from the Supreme means that Krishna becomes kind, he gives his power, he gives his blessings via the disciplic succession. This is the system that Krishna has given. Today I'm mostly giving more Brahminical initiations than Harinam. I think that's the first time I did that. I mean, it's not a huge initiation. It's 3 for Harinam and maybe 6 or 7. So I plan on speaking on Brahminical initiation a little later. The 3 who are taking Harinam are all in this birth of the female gender. It may seem to be an unusual thing that a sannyasi has female disciples. A female disciple is accepted as a daughter. So sannyasi doesn't have, well, he may have physical daughters before accepting sannyas, but after accepting sannyas, there should be no more children. Many years ago, a palm reader looked at my hand. This is maybe approximately 1980, and said, oh, you'll have many children. I said, really? And said, well, that can also mean disciples. So sannyasi is supposed to be aloof from women, but I have many women in my life. And I love them all. Wait a minute, what's going on? Sannyasi. What kind of a sannyasi is this? But how can a guru not love the disciples? So he's supposed to love them all also by teaching and training. But still there is a protocol. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give pure love of Krishna to every living being in this world and certainly loved every living being, but at the same time he observed the sannyasi protocol of keeping a distance to teach the world. We just read this Bengali song, Jagat Guru Gaura Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's acting as the guru of the world. And even in cultured families in India, the father, when the daughter gets a little older, then there's some distance, is there? Even for his own physical, biological daughter. That's considered the proper thing to do, because matra svasra duhidra va navivikthasano bhavit. Then balavan indriya gramo vidvangsam apikarshati. One should not sit very closely even to one's own mother, sister or daughter, because the senses are so powerful that they may disturb even a very learned person. This verse is in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Manu Samhita. So I'm just making this point that among devotees we certainly want to cultivate love among the devotees. Priti Lakshana, the six symptoms of love between devotees. The relationship between devotees is of love, but at the same time there's a certain protocol. And I'm mentioning this because in one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is that there's indiscriminate mixing between men and women. And it's especially prominent in the Western world here. And this is very bad for spiritual life, disastrous. There's too much mixing of men and women, free mixing. And then we see that so many fall downs come from this. In our ISKCON, as is well known, there have been many fall downs of sannyasis and gurus, and in almost every case, if not every case, it was sexual fall down. As Jayadvaita Swami once famously said after a class in Mayapur, when he was talking about the need to be strict, and someone challenged that at the question session at the end, and Jayadvaita Swami said, "No one," he said, "isn't it niyamagraha?" That was the point. Too strictly following the rules. Because we are warned not to be loose in following and not to be too strict. And Jayadvaita Swami said that no one ever fell down by being too strict. So if you're going to err on one side, better be strict. So it's very noticeable after coming from India that devotees, they mix up too much, men and women, and in the name of being nice. Well, we don't want to be not nice, but niceness doesn't necessarily mean mixing up in a very loose way. We should be careful. We should not be complacent and think that, well, we don't need to follow all these things. We definitely need to follow all these things. Without that, there won't be any proper progress in spiritual life. And if as guru that's the only thing you get from me, that's a very good thing to get. Because there's going to be no progress in spiritual life if there is. Unless we're seriously trying to overcome our material desires. The ultimate aim is love of Krishna. But there's no love of Krishna if we have material desires, or if we're not following four regulated principles, which qualifies to be a human being. The four regulated principles that we promise to follow, they don't make us, they don't help us to advance in spiritual life, they don't help us to develop love of Krishna, but they just save us from falling into totally hellish consciousness, without which there's no chance of advancing in Krishna consciousness. So that's a very big topic and a major topic, but I'll just touch it because it is noticeable that how there's too much free mixing, and it's much worse in America than here in Croatia, where even in America, because in America it's become a standard thing among a certain class of a new agey kind of people that they love everyone. So when a man and a woman meet, they embrace each other. They may even to embrace in public, man and woman, even husband and wife, that's uncivilized. What to speak of not being husband and wife? But so we see even devotees do that because they don't want to be, I don't know what, it's some crazy idea, but I don't know if they even thought about it, what are they doing? But be careful.
Sadhu Savdan, sadhus be careful, and Sadhvi Savdan. Sadhvi means female sadhu. Sadhvi actually means, sadhvi is the female equivalent of sadhu. And sadhvi, the term is particularly used for chaste wives, not for some female who puts on a saffron sari or runs around the world pontificating to everyone. It means a chaste wife and mother, main role of female in human society. Believe it or not, we might have got it wrong for the last few billion years, but actually the main role is as mothers. And to be a mother, they have to be a wife. That is ABCs of human culture, which are being rewritten by certain demoniac people, and that demoniac influence is also seen within our Krishna conscious movement, that so the devotees become so bewildered that they think it's acceptable and proper for a man and woman who are not married to embrace each other. And they think that's being nice. No, that's not nice. That's not approved by the parampara or by any cultured people anywhere. So, Hare Krishna, any question about the topics which I just spoke on very briefly, giving some idea about the parampara?
Ja bih samo pitala koji su uvjeti za dobivanje prve inicijacije.
What are the terms for getting first initiation? One should agree to chant a minimum 16 rounds every day, follow four regulated principles, and be accepted as a disciple. Within ISKCON there is a system to vet prospective candidates. Vet means to check, I guess is another word. So one is supposed to get a recommendation, and although this recommendation system might sometimes seem to be somewhat bureaucratic, but overall I'd rather have it than not have it, because I have to take the karma. And it's better that devotees, they've seen that they're actually seriously practicing before they accept initiation, because so many, just like here in Croatia, how many devotees have been initiated in Croatia? Must be several thousand, huh? Must be. Is it not? Is that an overestimate? Definitely it must be over, well over 1,000. 2,000? Maybe. Maybe around 2,000. And how many are actually following all their vows now? Less than 1%, probably. So giving first initiation, Srila Prabhupada says, giving a chance. But one should take it seriously. We see many don't take it seriously. So at least if there is a checking system prior to initiation, then that saves initiating people who are not at all serious. At least those who come to the level of initiation, it's expected that they have enough sincerity even to come to that level requires quite some practice. For people in India, well, I don't know, times have changed, but there are still many people in India, not many, some people, for whom following these four regulated principles, for them it's natural, apart from, just like in our friends in the Sri Sampradaya, So many friends. They've never from their life. They no question of eating meat or even garlic or onions or gambling. They get married, but they're not lusty monkeys. They have children for dharma, for the sake of dharma. So they don't have illicit sex and intoxication. Well, they are fond of coffee. That's a fact. But it's otherwise. There's no question of them. Well, nowadays there may be some also are drinking alcohol, but for many of them it doesn't come to their mind even that they could do such things. But for the Western people to follow these things, it's a great change in their life. It requires some sincerity and commitment. But at the same time, it seems that it's difficult for Westerners to stick to this, even for many Indians nowadays, because the culture is so fallen. Even I've seen in the 43 years ago I first went to India in this lifetime, and what a change in the meantime, how the culture has diminished in some ways. Of course, the fact that for Indians it is their culture may also mean that they don't take it so seriously, or they don't feel so inspired by it as newcomers do. They just like on Janmashtami at our ISKCON center in Juhu in Bombay, every year there are over 1 million visitors. It actually goes over more than a 24-hour period, because you can't squeeze everyone in 24. That's a lot of people, isn't it? You don't even get 100,000 visitors. I don't think you've had since this temple was begun, and nowhere near that. Not even 10,000, probably. So in one day they get 1 million visitors, but then they'll go away and they'll. The devotees of Krishna, and then they'll go to the Ganesh temple and they'll go to some lusty Bollywood movie, and they may not be practicing so seriously. Whereas for devotees anywhere to take the vows for initiation means they're serious, but for the Westerners it really is a very big step. For Indians to commit themselves to Krishna, generally it's not a very big step, unless they come from a hardcore Shaiva family or Shakta family, worshippers of Shiva or Shakti, Durga. Religiously it's not a very big step, although their relatives might not like them to follow the principles. That often happens also. The man wants to be a devotee and the wife wants sex, or vice versa. But the point of worshipping Krishna is not, it's not foreign to the culture, whereas for Westerners to take to Krishna consciousness, it really means something very different. Which in the early days of ISKCON among the hippies were looking for something. For them to be different was something that they wanted to be different, so they were looking to be different. But to sustain that year after year after year, to live differently to others, to have a completely different aim of life and goal of life, it's difficult to sustain. So those who are taking the vows today, please stick to them. Murari Gotra and his wife are getting Brahminical initiation after 20 years, so they've stuck it out. I was willing to give it long ago, but they didn't want to take it. Now they're going to take it. But now I don't want to give it. Because I made a rule that, because we're making our Varnashram projects, that we should have people who are actually living as brahmanas and not working in a job be brahmanas. But anyway, he's definitely a spiritually far more than any caste brahman by his commitment to Krishna. So, and then that Varnashram, that's the system to sustain devotees.
very helpful for helping people to stay in devotional service. One major reason for the fall down of devotees is bad association, which is all around, everywhere. So the Varnashram community means you go and live in a Vaikuntha bubble, away from the bad world all around. Live with devotees. Live simply. Don't be anxious for money. Just live with devotees, get up early every day. Another reason is most devotees who are initiated these days, they don't have any sadhana properly. If they can squeeze in their 16 rounds between their work and their children and their holidays, it's the holiday season, right? All the devotees are going to go to the coast. What? If they're going to go to the coast to do Harinam, that's okay, but go to the coast for a holiday? What is that? That's just nonsense. That's what karmis do. So we find even a lot of initiated devotees who in some ways are very serious, but they're living like half karmis, maybe because their children want to go to the beach or something. I don't know why. I can't think of any good reason. But of course you can also go, you can come here and your kids can play and you can do some service, or you regularly go to that Simhachalam in Germany where there's a big farm, they can run around here and there, the kids. So the devotees are influenced by that whole way of life. They have to do a job, and in the job they have to associate with non-devotees, and they have to get up early in the morning. They don't have time for their sadhana. The great majority of initiated devotees who are active in the ISKCON today, they don't have a regular mangalarti and early in the morning. They don't even get up early in the morning. You ask them to read Prabhupada's books, where's the time? And this is especially true in India, where the average person works over 70 hours a week. 12 hours a day times 6, there you got it, 72 hours. Especially if you include the transit time. And it's just a complete harassment and stress. So devotees on their farm communities, the grihasthas also get up early in the morning, go to Mangalarti every day. They do some work in the day and then they come back again in the evening and have morning and evening program for all grihasthas every day. And that's how you make spiritual advancement. Otherwise, very difficult to make spiritual advancement. And then because we're associating with devotees, we get mixed up with so many demoniac ideas such as feminism and mundane psychology and abortion and abortion, yeah? Some devotees are advocates of abortion. What does that mean? How can you be a devotee and be an advocate of abortion? Well, it's going on, folks. So we really need to make our Vaikuntha bubbles, all these temples, just like this temple, it's a Vaikuntha bubble. Who can live here, they can have sadhana, association with devotees, service to Krishna all the time. Those who are living outside, they don't have that facility. But if we have the Varnashram communities, everyone can live, and in grihastha life also, a kind of full-time devotional service for grihasthas also. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yeah.
Regarding this, is there any plan for some community or some farm in Croatia?
Is there any plan for a community, farm community in Croatia? I was going to ask you the same question. There was a plan many years ago in Lika, but it never really happened. There are devotees living in the area, but there's no community as such. As I've said many times, and we experience it also, growing vegetables and grains and fruits is not very difficult. Contrary to what people would tell you, farming is not difficult. It may be hard work, but it's not intrinsically difficult. And even the hard work is because everyone's running on the cash economy, cash crops. Otherwise, by the mercy of Krishna, Mother Earth is ready to give
Plenty of food for everyone. But the hard part is not cultivating the crops, it's cultivating the people. Bringing devotees together and live so they can live together peacefully and cooperatively. That is the great challenge. So you can do it. It requires vision, spiritual leadership, money, because you have to purchase land also. You have to convince others to do it. Can be done, should be done, will be done. Why a farm community for Croatia? There should be hundreds of farm communities in every country. We're way, way behind on Srila Prabhupada's plan. And if we had actually developed these farm communities if Srila Prabhupada wanted, then probably most of our devotees wouldn't have blooped. Victim of circumstances in many cases. It's difficult to get in transcendental consciousness when you're living with materialistic people. Those who are very strong are able to do so, but most of the devotees aren't very strong. Maya is very strong. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there as the prasad. Everyone has to take prasad, except those who are supposed to be initiated now. They should fast, and then the program can continue a little later. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Vancha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.